Good morning.
Good morning.
So I've embarked on a series of lectures on Genjo Koan, which is a text by Eihei Dogen, who founded the school of Soto Zen in Japan in the 13th century. Genjo Koan means manifesting suchness. It's one translation of it. So basically we'll all try to figure out how to do that based on Dogen's teaching. I think this is the third lecture that I've given on it, and one of the things we're doing is we're meeting the week afterwards. We have been meeting on Tuesday nights. So we're going to, anyway, this Tuesday night, we're going to meet and have a discussion group at 6 o'clock about this part of Genjo Koan. So if you want to do that, please come. And so the paragraph that I want to talk about today is this one. Those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. Those who are greatly deluded in realization are sentient beings. Further, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization, who are in delusion throughout delusion. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily notice that they are Buddhas. However, they are actualized Buddhas who go on actualizing Buddha. So that's what I want to talk about today. So the first line of this is, there are those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. So, you know, I think one of the initial questions we should ask ourselves is, what do we think a Buddha is? And usually what we think a Buddha is not us. So we have this notion of a Buddha as being some kind of exalted being that's always perfect, always does everything the right way. But actually the definition of a Buddha, I would say in Soto Zen, is that a being who is in accord with the totality of their surroundings or the situation that they're in such a way that they are able to have a wholesome response, have an efficacious and helpful response. That's kind of a definition of what it is to be Buddha, because what that means is that we are manifesting the nature of Buddha. The nature of Buddha is Buddha nature, and Buddha nature is everything. It is that aspect or that truth about the nature of everything functioning together, interconnected with everything else, like process, the world, making the world is what Dogen calls that. And he calls this a kind of altruistic activity. So it's this way that everything is practicing. We practice with everything and everything practices with us. So when we can embody that, that is Buddha nature. So it's not some kind of exalted woo-woo thing, person, being, glowing out there somewhere separate from your life. We all are Buddha nature. The Zafu is our Buddha nature, etc., everything that you can name. So those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. So to have great realization of delusion means that we understand what it means to deal with or to talk about delusion, like what is delusion. So the sentence directly before this, Dogen defines his understanding of what it means to be enlightened. He said, to carry the self forward is delusion. To allow myriad things to come forth is realization. That's how he defines realization. But another way to say this is to say, to carry the selfish self forward, that part of ourselves that really just wants to be the only being in the world, in which we stand in the center of the circle of the world, in which the whole world revolves around us and does what we want. That's the selfish part of us. That's how we sometimes would like things to be. So he says, to carry this selfish self forward is delusion. So what are we in delusion about? We're in delusion about the true nature of the world, which is it is this interactive, cooperative event. It may not feel that way, but that in actuality, essentially the world is functioning as this kind of great machine, if you will, as he calls it in another another fascicle called Zenki. So this way that this whole totality is functioning. Think about it. If the world did not function, we could not breathe. We could not eat. We could not... So from a selfish point of view, all right? So there's this way in which from our side, from our perspective, we should be aware of the fact that the whole world is supporting us, which is, of course, one of the issues about global warming, right? Is because we have not been aware of that. So that's been a kind of delusion, like a really big kind of delusion, that as human beings, because of the causes and conditions of being human, we find ourselves in this situation. So he says this: the definition of this is this awareness of what is delusion, awareness of not being in accord with, not engaging in skillful response, not being in an open relationship, a kind of spacious mind about the situation that we're in. So he says, you know, those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. So this, in a way, is a kind of guideline for us about how do we approach this. He's saying you approach this by actually trying to figure out what delusion is. So actually a lot of our teachings is about that. A lot of our teaching is, how do I discern that something is a delusional state of mind, or how am I responding in a way that is not helpful, is unskillful? That's a delusional response. So this, he's saying, you know, to have an understanding of that, to really understand that, is to cultivate the mind of Buddha. That's how we cultivate the mind of Buddha, is to really understand how delusion's a problem. So if you're aware of what delusion is, if you're aware of how you're engaging in delusional mindset or engaging this kind of selfish response to the world, then that allows us to wake up to that, because if we can't see it, we can't respond to it. So once we start to see what that is, and a lot of our Buddhist practice is about how do I see what that is, how do I understand how that works, once we start to wake up to this, then we can actually atone, if you will, which is only to say that we can try to make right what we have done that is not helpful, and that we actually learn and grow and transform from that realization. And how do we learn and grow and transform? And what are we learning and growing and transforming into, if you will? We're not really transforming into something. What we're doing is allowing who we already are, which is Buddha nature, to come forward and actualize itself in that moment. So this is this way in which he's saying, you know, those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. Well, from another point of the perspective of this doctrine is that we are already Buddha nature. Everything is Buddha nature. Therefore, having the nature of a Buddha, everything is Buddha, including ourselves. But, unfortunately, we don't always manifest that aspect of the self. So, how do we do that? Because we just get caught, right? We get caught. And so... a lot of it is how do we figure this out? So in the next line he says, those who are greatly deluded in realization are sentient beings. Those who are greatly deluded in realization. So the key thing here is to be greatly deluded in realization. So this in realization is the soup of the reality of our lives as Buddha nature. So we are actually kind of, we are immersed in, it is the as Dogen says later, you know, if you're a fish in water, it's our water, it's the air that we breathe, it is the totality of our experience, is actually this realization, this Buddha-ness, this Buddha nature of reality itself. So we are deluded in the midst of being already that thing. Right, we are, and that delusion, Dogen's saying, is the nature of being a sentient being. Now, so we are sentient beings. So That means that because we are sentient beings and because of the nature of what it is to be sentient beings, we can't see. We get caught in our selfish mind or caught in our causes and conditions. So each one of us has causes and conditions in our lives. Genetic, family causes and conditions, cultural causes and conditions. You know, we look at our political situation right now, and this is the result of the many, many, many causes and conditions that are coming together at this moment. You know, and so this particular kind of, from my perspective anyway, this kind of delusion arises. So there's no, even if we look at this objectively without our opinions about what should or shouldn't be happening in the United States, but if we look at, say, just the polarization of the people who are running our government, this is a way in which there is no compromise, there's no dialogue. So this is a kind of delusional behavior in which there is no recognition that even on that level, that as Buddhas, there is dialogue. As Buddhas, there is spaciousness. As Buddhas, there is this way that we acknowledge and feel deep gratitude for each other's point of view, that we can find some space in there to actually have dialogue with each other. That is to allow myriad things to come forth and meet you, to allow the myriad opinions, to allow the myriad persons, to allow the myriad situations, to allow all of this to be part of how we can manifest this interpenetrating, interactive, interbeingness of the world functioning as Buddha nature in this particular way that's very messy. Being a sentient being, being a human being, is a messy thing. Maybe it's a lot easier to be a rock. You know, I don't know what it is to be a rock. I don't know what it is. We picked up a spider here in the Zendo yesterday and took it outside. We're like, well, where did that spider go? It's been here for a week, you know? I don't know what the spider was thinking. But, you know, it's like this way for us as human beings, it just seems so messy. It seems so messy. So we have this clear instruction, you know, which is keep going back to this realization, this faith that we are in this interconnected, dependent, co-arising relationship with the whole world, but in particular with each other. And so how do we negotiate that? So we are greatly deluded as sentient beings in the midst of this soup called Buddha nature, in the midst of this soup, which is realization, manifested, it is realization. So those who are great, who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas, those who are greatly deluded in realization are sentient beings. So that's kind of like saying, okay, that's our situation. How do we, you know, how do we become aware of this delusion and wake up to this? So we have that kind of delusion. We also have a kind of delusion, just a basic delusion about what it means to call, say, that we are awakened, or what does it mean to talk about enlightenment? So that's a problem too, about our ideas about what is enlightenment. So often we're striving for something that is just not it. You know, we're striving for some kind of personal state of mind. Okay, so realization is not about some kind of personal, permanent state that we attain somehow, because it is interactive. Therefore, in order to act in a way that is realized or awakened, it's an interconnected relationship with everything. So it can't be some kind of selfish notion, which we might have a notion of something like, I'm always going to say the right thing. Good things are going to happen for me always. You know, everybody's going to love me. I'm so charismatic. Just all this kind of stuff that it's all about me. So there's this way which, you know, realization can be messy. realization can be, you know, realization doesn't necessarily mean that there's no conflict. You know, this way that we deeply investigate the nature of the experience. You know, we go to a meeting, and how do we go to that meeting with coworkers and actually have this mind of spaciousness and gratitude, even in the midst of with the person who we can't stand that we work with? You know, how does that work? How do we wake up to our delusion and our desires to push that person away? You know, so I don't like you. I don't like any ideas you have. I mean, it's like I wanted nothing to do with you. It's like I wish you would disappear out of that chair, you know. And yet there they are. They didn't disappear. They still have those ideas. They're still doing that thing that we can't stand, and we have to work with them 8 hours a day. So that's suffering. You know, that is like, that's like suffering. And you think it's only your suffering. So that's actually quite selfish, because I bet that person's suffering too. You know. And so how do we acknowledge our kind of shared delusion in the midst of this that we are doing with each other? How do we do this thing that we can actually dialogue, be open to that? You know. And then he says, further, there are those who continue realization, who continue realizing beyond realization, who are in delusion throughout delusion. So furthermore, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization, who are in delusion throughout delusion. So realizing beyond realization is a pure response. You know, it's just a, it's not, there's no labels to it. You are just completely responding. So when you do something that's helpful or beneficial and you don't think about it, just a kind of pure response, that's realization beyond realizing. So if you open the door for somebody who needs to have the door open for them, you know, there's somebody who's got a lot of packages in their hands, or there's somebody who's in a wheelchair, something like that, you know, that we don't even think about it. We just jump up, open the door, you know. So this, there are lots and lots and lots of things that we do during the course of a day or a week or a lifetime that is realization beyond realization. We just think, because it doesn't look like the thing that we think Buddhas do, which is, I'm not sure what that is, you know, what they glow, they have halos, they, you know, what is it that Buddhas do? So because what we're doing doesn't look like some notion, and maybe that's a good thing, because if we thought what we were doing was like Buddhas, oh, I'm so good, maybe I'm a Buddha, yeah, you know. So there's this way that we just say, you know, oh, we don't even notice it. We just do this thing. So there's no ego involved in it at all. It's just pure response. So this is the meaning of the sentence that ends this. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they do not necessarily notice that they are Buddhas. So when we are enacting, we are responding to our life as Buddha with our Buddha nature, Buddha mind. We're always Buddha nature, but we're allowing where Buddha nature is coming forth. This is our Buddha mind. When we respond this way, we just go on responding this way. We don't even notice that we're doing, we don't, he says, we don't necessarily notice that they are Buddhas. We may not even notice when other people are doing this activity as well. So, because of course, it's a reciprocal event, right? People do a lot of nice things for us too. I really love, there was like a Pepsi commercial a few years back, and I think it was Pepsi, and they showed this kind of playing it forward, you know, somebody opened the door for somebody, and then that person who had the door open for them walks down the street, and somebody drops something, and they pick it up and give it to them. Those kinds of little things, sort of a sequential thing that happens. And that's that reciprocal way that we just go on helping each other. You know, we go on doing this. So, you know, we really, I would say, we really want to cultivate these moments because it's good for us. It creates a kind of habitual response. And you know, the other thing about this is that, so there's this way, and Dogen doesn't talk about what I'm about to talk about, but there's this other way where we have to think about what we're doing. We have to think about oh, I'm going to that meeting with that person, I can't stand them. So we think to ourselves, how can I respond in this situation that is actually skillful and helpful, rather than just going into my knee-jerk response? So that's part of practice too. You know, sometimes practice is like really easy because we just don't think about it. Sometimes practice is really hard because we're totally in delusion and we're completely suffering and we just can't find that. And then there is that other way between those two where we work at it. You know, it's like we sit down and say, okay, this is what's happening. This is suffering. How am I going to work with this? How am I going to find spaciousness? How am I going to get my small self to respond with big mind? You know, how am I going to do this? Small self is going, no, 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 I will not do that. You know, big self is going, please, you know, it's really, we do want to do the practice. I want to remember my vow. You know, my vow is that I really would like to be skillful in this situation. No, no. Just, you know, going back and forth with each other. So that, you know, that's that way we have to really work with ourselves. You know, we have to really have that meeting with those parts of ourselves. So furthermore, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization who are in delusion throughout delusion. So there's this question of what is this to say when he says who are in delusion throughout delusion. So one way we can talk about this is that aspect where we're caught, right? This is this aspect where we are, as Shohaku Okumura would say, 100% caught. 100% in delusion. We cannot see anything else but this part of ourselves that's rising up and saying, nope, no, no, no. Or whatever that, however that manifests itself. It can also manifest like in greed, right? More, more, more. So this way that we come up and we're just completely caught. We have absolutely no idea about what's going on. So we're 100% caught in this. And this is also what it is to be human being. And, you know, we tend to talk about these things as Buddha good, sentient being bad. So, but guess what? We are sentient human beings. You're not going to, like, turn into some glowing golden skin something, you know, in another Buddha field with... what? Everything you say, everybody totally understands? So that's not the human condition. And I don't know where that other place is. What I know is where we are right now. And as human beings, sentient beings, this is part of this. We are sentient beings. But the teachings also say we are Buddha. We are sentient beings and we are Buddha, and they're not different from each other. And we have to practice in order to manifest our Buddha nature. Because as sentient beings, it's tough for us. I don't know if it's because it's sort of like the joy of having a brain, having the mind that we have, and the curse of having the mind that we have. So this mind can simultaneously be caught and uncaught. This mind is at the same time just Buddha nature manifesting, as is everything else. Simultaneously functioning. That's the foundation. That's always happening, whether we're in accord with that or not. So there's this nature as a human being where sometimes we are realizing beyond realization. Sometimes we're having to sit down and really think about it. Sometimes we are completely caught and can't even find that little piece, you know. So all of those things are present simultaneously happening together. Sometimes, you know, where does your Buddha nature go when you're doing something that's unskillful? Where does, you know, when you're skillful, where does the unskillful part of you go? It's like, did that person, is that no longer part of who you are? Like, you'll never, ever, ever do anything unskillful again? You know? And then when you're unskillful, does the skillful part of you, like, disappear somehow and you'll never, ever, ever find it again? I know it feels that way, right? It feels that way, but it's not. I mean, those things are still there. It's just that they're not apparent, or they're hidden, or they are coming forward or receding, or however you want to think of that. So that's an interesting teaching, because next time you feel like you are such a doofus that you will never, ever, you're so unskillful that you cannot dig yourself out of this hole, just remember that the skillful part of you is still there. You know, that all those skillful things you've done are also part of who you are. So we don't need to beat ourselves up. We just need to come back to having great realization about delusion, about what that is. So, you know, this is the Bodhisattva path. This path of falls down, gets up. This path of having vow. This path of saying, you know, beings are numberless. I vow to save them, which is that impossible koan. But you can think about it as beings are numberless. The opportunities are endless, and I want to benefit all beings, including myself, in the midst of that. So this isn't like some kind of thing where you get run over all the time, you know. But this way in which you're saying, my vow is that I actually want to figure out how to be skillful. Personally, I think being skillful is, if that's all we do in this world is figure out how to be more skillful, I think that's swell. You know, we don't have to glow. Any of those things, just work on being more skillful. That for me is like, you know, to carry the self forward is delusion. To carry self forward in a way in which you're creating unskillfulness, suffering, unhappiness to self and other, and then allowing myriad things to come forward and meet you, allowing the world, your situation, what's happening in your life right now to meet you in this spacious way, that to me is like, that's realization. I think Dogen's definition to me is like wonderful, because it's such a great guideline about how to deconstruct actually the nature of our experience when we're suffering and say, maybe I'm carrying myself forward here. Like, what's that about? Can we talk about that? You know, so I really like that. I like that definition that he says. Another way to think about this delusion, so the sentence is, furthermore, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization who. So there's some indication that those who are realizing are also the who that's completely in delusion. We can also think about this as the lotus in muddy water, right? This way in which the Bodhisattva path is that we are, you know, we are like the lotus in muddy water. We have this opportunity. This muddy water is the nutrient source. This delusion is a source of nutrients for this beautiful lotus, which is Buddha nature manifesting itself. So this delusion, being willing to stand in the middle of delusion, because I have to tell you, we don't really have a choice. You know, bulletin, you know, Buddhist bulletin, we don't really have a choice. This is the Saha world of Shakyamuni Buddha, which means we got problems. We got trouble here in River City. So this way in which we say we stand in the middle of this delusion, our own delusion and the delusion of all beings simultaneously, the whole world, stand in the middle of that. And how do we, you know, we are not, the full stage Bodhisattva, if you will, is not separate from, nor is that Bodhisattva caught in. So the Bodhisattva is not caught in delusion, but is not separate from delusion. So that's an interesting thing to think about. And it's hard for us as human, you know, most of us are not so far along the path that we can negotiate, always stand in the middle of that. Often we are either caught in the middle of it, we're just sucking up that muddy water and coughing and suffering and, you know, saying, I can't breathe, you know. And then sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're like this beautiful lotus. Dogen says in Kuge, which is another fascicle, means flowers of emptiness, he uses the image, he says, Bodhisattvas are born in the lotus is born in, blue lotus is born in fire. So the blue lotus blooms in fire, and it requires fire for its blooming. Bodhisattva practice requires suffering, because in a way, if suffering did not exist, we would not need bodhisattva practice. If we were always skillful, everybody was skillful, no one was suffering, there were no problems, we were never confused, why would we do this practice? It would be a different Buddha field, folks. So here we are in the midst of all of this, and how do we engage this practice? So I think that's what Dogen's saying to us here in Ganjo Koan, realizing suchness. How do we go about doing that? So he's talking to us about how we can do that. Thank you.